Hi there! Welcome back to another episode of Footprints. I'm Yu Shan. Before I dive into today's story, I'd like to begin with a question for you. If you were to name one element that could best represent the place or the culture you come from, what would it be? Is it going to be a historic site? World-famous architecture? Or maybe a type of local food? For me, if I think about my hometown Beijing, I'm instantly drawn to the Forbidden City, with its walls painted in a warm, maroonish red with bright yellow glazed tiles on the rooftop, still so stately and graceful after some 600 years. But for someone who is not so familiar with the city of Beijing, answers can vary, which leads me to wonder, what do we really look for when thinking about the elements that might represent our homes? And also, how might people from outside of my culture regard these elements differently? This February, I had the chance to express my curiosity to Shu Yong, the renowned Chinese modern and contemporary artist who provided his insight on understanding such cultural icons.
比如说，像在国外街道上能看到的中国文字啊。
For example, when I travel abroad and see a Chinese character displayed on the streets, or sometimes red lanterns or the Chinese national flag hanging in front of embassy gates, it immediately relieves my anxiety and makes me feel quite safe, instinctively.
Best known for his creative large-scale public arts, as well as paintings of Chinese cultural icons like the Great Wall and different types of natural landscapes, the 50-year-old artist has been invited to many countries worldwide to present his works, give exhibitions, or to attend artistic events. When he's not traveling, one can usually find Shu Yong at an art museum named after him, located in South Beijing, a five-story building displaying a great variety of his paintings, installations, and sculptures created in the past decades. Sitting in a bright and large meeting room inside the museum, we chat about how he came to realize the importance of the cultural icons, or rather, the cultural symbols, as he puts it, from his personal observation.
再加上我的英语不是特别好，所以我就甚至有一种出国恐惧症。
To be honest, my English isn't particularly good, and I'm bad at remembering the way and people's faces. So I've always been afraid of traveling abroad because I would easily get lost or fall into awkward situations where I forgot who the guests were even though I was just talking to them a few hours ago. Without the decent comprehension of the local language and culture, I felt as if there were invisible walls around me when strolling around a foreign country. However, I later discovered that seeing Chinese cultural symbols quelled my anxiety. To me, our national flag, a painting of a Chinese dragon or a panda, and Chinese cuisine are all cultural icons that have helped alleviate my nervousness about traveling abroad. It was through this understanding that I recognized the significance of cultural symbols.
To him, these cultural symbols are a good representation of a sense of familiarity, reminding a nomadic soul that he is not that far from home. Meanwhile, Shu Yong also sees them as the simplest and most powerful means to visualize a type of culture and grow attached to them. He shares that his awakening to the idea reached a peak when he and his daughter went to watch a war movie. Seeing the battle scene, his child asked him abruptly, "Dad, why Superman or Iron Man couldn't show up in the movie and save the day?" At that moment, Shu Yong realized how successful the U.S. cultural symbols had become embedded in the mind of a young child, to the extent that she could naturally think of the American fictional characters as a heroic ideal, regardless of the context. There is no doubt that American culture has a large global appeal, especially in the entertainment and popular culture industries. As a result, Shu Yong became curious and wanted to see how Chinese cultural features would appear to people outside of China.
I can tell you a story. Actually, this story is very important for me.
And here I want to share another story, which is equally important to me. I once conducted a survey in Times Square in New York City a few years ago, and as we know, Times Square is a major commercial, tourism and entertainment intersection, where one could expect to meet people from all around the world. So I wanted to look at Chinese culture from a global perspective and prepared pictures of nearly 100 of the most iconic Chinese cultural symbols, including the Great Wall, the Forbidden City, the Giant Panda, Tai Chi, etc., to show to random passers-by. I wanted to see if they could recognize what these symbols were or if they knew that they were from China. However, only very few could recognize more than 10 symbols out of the 100 or so I brought.
As a comparison to the survey, Xu Yong later went to Beijing and again asked random Chinese people on the street to recognize symbols or images from American culture. In contrast, most were able to tell what those symbols were.
那么回国以后，我又带了将近这个一百个美国的各种各样的文化符号。
I presented about 100 American cultural symbols, like the logo of Starbucks and KFC, the image of Superman and Iron Man, etc., to the Chinese people after I returned to China. And I noticed that most of us could comment on those symbols as well as the subjects they represent with great familiarity. Such a discovery had a significant impact on me.
Noticing the stark contrast, Xu Yong fell into deep thoughts. As we appreciate the imported movies and the cultures they present, there should be something that we can do to deliver a more vivid story about China on a worldwide scale, too.
其实文化符号自看是有点抽象，但是对我的理解来说，文化符号是一种共识。
The concept of cultural symbols can be a bit abstract and difficult to illustrate clearly. However, in my understanding, the cultural symbols of a country stand for a set of values and form a guiding system in understanding this nation. We rely on symbols, likewise, whether it is a language or an image, to express ideas and understand the world. They are the important carriers of a culture, if not a civilization, that would eventually be passed on to the future generations. That is why I believe that there ought to be a group of Chinese cultural symbols that are credible, appealing, and respectable as the carriers to convey our values to the world as well.
And for Xu Yong, the best way to put his ideas into action was to construct a cultural symbol through his own artworks. In 2013, he made over 1,500 translucent amber bricks adorned with one popular Chinese phrase and its direct English translation through Google written in each piece of the brick. In this case, both the newly popular circulated phrases and the traditional Chinese quotations among the 1,500 popular terms all became subject to the machine translation that jumbled and displaced their meanings. And by putting these bricks of misinterpretations into a wall-shaped piece of sculpture, Xu Yong indicated that sometimes language barriers were just like the wall that blocked us from understanding each other. Dedicated to the China Pavilion of the Venice Biennale in 2013, therefore, this installation entitled the Guge Bricks became one of his most famous attempts reflecting on the divide between Eastern and Western values and the Googleization of culture in contemporary world. Meanwhile, Xu Yong also shares that as much as he sees the 5,000-year-old Chinese civilization as a treasure house of cultural symbols, what we need to do now, however, is to rediscover Chinese culture under the context of the new era and explore the value of cultural symbols in modern times. Then, later that year, as his Guge Brick installation received worldwide recognition, such a symbol with a modern connotation arrived.
那么在13年，
In 2013, President Xi Jinping proposed the Belt and Road Initiative, and my attention was immediately captured by the idea of it. I think the Belt and Road Initiative is just like a great bridge of connectivity, openness, and mutual development. That's when I had the thought of designing my next piece of work called the Golden Bridge on the Silk Road. I wanted to use the form of a bridge as a symbol that conveys the peaceful message that could be understood by all.
We, from Chinese tradition, 就是逢山开路，遇水架桥。
From the traditional Chinese perspective, we pave roads to traverse mountains and build bridges to overcome bodies of water, indicating that the bridge is a symbol of connectivity in traditional Chinese culture. Bridges are everywhere, in almost every city of every country all across the world. These days is also being given the modern connotation of communication and forming common consensus,and thus a very good symbol that delivers a sense of inclusiveness that could resonate with all cultures.
Speaking of which, here's a quick shout-out for another CGTN radio podcast that shares the same keywords called The Bridge, hosted by my colleague Jason Smith. Out of the same will of forging connectivity as shared by Xu Yong, The Bridge focuses on building bridges between the East and the West.So, if you're down for conversations that inspire listeners from the opposites of the world, please do check it out. Back to Xu Yong's case, he used the ancient Zhaozhou Bridge in North China's Hebei province as the prototype for his artistic design, and eventually made a gigantic piece of artwork, a golden-colored bridge formed from amber bricks that weighed more than 100 metric tons.One brick at a time, Xu Yong put together nearly 20,000 amber bricks, each embedded with the national or city flower of a country or city involved in the Belt and Road Initiative, or BRI. He named it the Golden Bridge on the Silk Road. Mixing together the cultures of a total of 53 countries and 94 cities participating in the BRI, it is a bridge meant to express China's commitment to the common prosperity in the gardens of the world.
I think this is our Chinese culture's value. Because Chinese culture, first of all, is respect for others.
One key element of Chinese culture is to be respectful to others. By nature, we promote humility and mutual respect, but frown upon arrogance. And through cultural symbols like the form of a bridge, we manage to spread out these characteristics in a more direct way.
His ideas reflected through the artwork have enjoyed great popularity when presented to the world.It is widely considered as a cultural icon of the BRI and has been the main art installation at high-level events such as the Milan Expo in 2015 and the Belt and Road Forum in Beijing in 2017.
而且你看我们在米兰展出的时候
When we were exhibiting the artwork in Milan, many foreign viewers were very happy when they saw the bridge. Many of them came up close to look for their own national or city flowers in the amber bricks. And once they found it, they were bursting into laughter, like spotting a joyful surprise. I think at that moment, they realized our respect for their culture, and that, I believe, is the value of the Chinese culture.
Born in Hunan province, where he learned ink painting when he was a child, Xu Yong enrolled in the Guangzhou Academy of Fine Arts to study oil painting as his major. However, he says he never sets limitations on his art, as he welcomes all flows of thoughts and artistic inspirations coming and going in his head. His artworks usually combine elements of China's political, economic, social, and media landscapeand vividly reflect the development process of the country. Since last year, Xu Yong has been a member of China's top political advisory body, the National Committee of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, or CPPCC. As a quick intro to what it means to take on such a role, members of the CPPCC National Committee usually come from all walks of life in Chinese society and are selected through consultation and recommendation. They have the right to make suggestions and criticisms about governmental department personnel, report and expose violations of disciplines or laws, as well as expressing opinions and participating in important policy and principle-related discussions. At the two sessions meeting last year, Xu Yong submitted a proposal for the very first time, indicating that the nation should establish a series of Chinese national cultural symbols to help the world understand China better. 2 months after the submission, his idea was selected as the key proposal from among over 4,000 proposals issued by more than 2,000 CPPCC members, further proving the country's increasing sense of cultural identity and its urgent will to enhance cross-cultural understanding. It's common to hear Western criticisms of China's governance model, often based on their values, and ignoring the fact that democracy can manifest itself in ways that differ from how it is understood in the West, as is demonstrated by two sessions participants such as Xu Yong. Continuing his role as a CPPCC member this year, he continues to seek new opportunities and enhance the idea of creating cultural symbols through his proposals. He says his goal for the next phase of his art creation is to study the designs and meanings behind other bridges in countries along the Silk Road Economic Belt and the 21st Century Maritime Silk Road. In doing so, he aims to put together amber bricks based on those other forms of bridges too in the near future, as a means of passing on the Silk Road spirit of peace, cooperation, and inclusiveness. But apart from his own artistic expression, Xu Yong is also keen on other aspects of his political role, one of which is to make art more accessible to common people. Back in November 2019, Xu Yong collaborated with the local township government of Daxing District in southern Beijing and jointly established the Beijing Xu Yong Art Museum. It was also the first registered private art museum in this district. Covering the southern suburbs of the city, the Daxing District is traditionally known for its manufacturing and distribution industries. With the establishment of the art museum, however, Xu Yong aims to utilize the museum as a public space that promotes the habit of art creation and appreciation among the local people.
Apart from continuing to raise public awareness of cultural symbols, this year I also proposed the building of more urban and rural public cultural spaces in local townships. Take this museum as an example. Here I started a workshop where I could work on my proposals while interacting with the visitors and asking for their advice. I'd like to establish this public space better, serve the aesthetic needs of the local people, and I propose that more public spaces likewise should be built in local townships and enrich the people's daily lives. In this way, I feel like I combined my roles as an artist and as a CPPCC member.
But of course, these works couldn't have been done merely by Xu Yong alone.
11 years. This is going to be the 11th year of me working with Mr. Xu,
says Ma Jun, curator of the Beijing Xu Yong Art Museum, who leads a team of a dozen working to help manage Xu Yong's works while hosting activities at the museum. As Xu Yong and I wrapped up our chat in the meeting room, Ms. Ma showed me around the museum where we looked at Xu Yong's artworks and paintings and discussed the meanings behind them.
Wait a minute. What is Mr. Xu doing out there? Oh, he's taking pictures of the snow scene.
It snowed just the day before, with piles of snow left on the ground, reflecting the golden rays of the setting sun, similar to the color of Xu Yong's amber bricks. And as we walked past the front gate of the museum, We saw Xu Yong carefully taking pictures of the snow on the ground with a serious look on his face.
As far as I've noticed, Mr. Xu has many interesting habits. For instance, he loves taking pictures of the scenery around him, especially when he arrives at a new place or discovered new sceneries. I think as an artist, he's very sensitive to his surroundings, and taking pictures is his way of interacting with a new environment. It's also about collecting materials for his art creation.
Almost bending over and kneeling onto the freezing ground in order to get his favorite angle of the snow scene, this 50-year-old man almost resembles a curious child at that very moment, who remains forever captivated by the world and is always so eager to capture the beautiful moments that best suit his immediate experiences. With his inability to remember faces, I have no doubt that he'll most likely forget about the way I look in a few hours' time. Nevertheless, being able to share this sheer moment of creation with the artist and follow him throughout his artistic narrative is, by itself, an inspiring experience for me. So, instead of stepping forward and interrupting his flow of creational thoughts, Miss Ma and I just quietly observed Xu Yong taking pictures of the snow from inside the museum, not daring to make moves or much of a sound for fear of distracting him. Just like taking pictures of nature, Xu Yong also likes to take brushes and ink with him everywhere he goes and always paints late at night. To him, the act of creating is a way of self-sublimation, just like the slow process of building up a vault of national cultural symbols, which, according to Xu Yong, will require the continuous efforts of generation after generation.
Firstly, cultural symbols are a form of national consensus, which is something that is hard for everyone to agree on. However, once we raise public awareness on this notion, it's going to become easier to create cultural symbols that can resonate with the most of us. But this is no simple task, and it's going to take the hard efforts of an entire generation, if not generations of people, to complete. So we need to have faith and treat the work systematically. I personally am just a normal person who aims to be more closely connected to society with my artworks. And I believe art should help improve society and echo the times we live in. It's my hope to promote social development in all ways I can and help remove obstacles, if not breaking barriers, with my understanding of art and our culture. That'll be my source of power and lifelong dedication.
With that, we conclude this episode of Footprints. Thanks for listening. I'm Yu Shan. If you're interested in hearing more about the lives of ordinary but incredible people in China, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Just key in Footprints, and you can find more stories anytime, anywhere. We'll see you next time.